You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, Side B.
Track 7, Loose Cannons, with Exhibit and Cold 187-0, produced by Dre and Focus. There's a lot going on in this song.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of really dope elements. I'm not quite sure it all works as a song. So, like, you've got this huge intro, which that's totally Focus's influence right there. I don't know who Dre is supposed to sound like on the first verse, but he doesn't sound like Dre.
that's Cole 187. Listen.
Right.
Listen.
And then Cole 187 comes in.
Man, it was really good to hear him.
With a beat switch. There's like 3 beats on this song.
Yeah. It was really, really good to hear him on this record, man. Like, I think above the Law's contribution to hip hop and West Coast hip hop is severely understated. So it was really good to hear that.
Yeah, I feel like for the most part, you know, the popular sort of retelling of West Coast music history is like there was N.W.A. and then there was the Chronic, and then there was Death Row,
and there was Death Row, and there was nothing else, and that is the biggest lie. There was a lot of Death Row affiliates. Like, there's a lot going on,
right,
out west.
But no, I like Cole 187. I like his verse. You're right. It was good to hear him on there. The beat fit him well. I thought it worked.
Yeah.
Exhibit kind of pops up out of nowhere, rapping about being a spy in Dubai.
I love his beat switch too.
I don't love it. It's okay. And there's a lot going on. See, the thing is, it's not even like these are like basic beats and then they're combining them together because they want you to get sick of them. Like, each one of these has like elements going on. There's like stuff, like if you listen on headphones, there's like other stuff on the side, and it's like these could be full-fledged songs, but there's just, I don't know, I feel like they're trying to jam-pack so much into this. But I thought Exhibit was good on this. I haven't heard Exhibit in a long time. When was the last time you heard Exhibit?
I haven't heard Exhibit since... I think he came out with a record last year that was dope, I think. Or maybe it was like that... Didn't he put out a song with Carrie Hilson a while ago? Like a few years ago?
Oh, man. I don't remember.
But, you know, people are going to look at... People are going to look at Exhibit and be like, I don't know if they're going to say what happened, but I think a lot of people expected more from him.
That's funny, because to me, like, 2001, his appearance on that, his appearance on What's the Difference completely changed his career.
Yeah.
Before that, he was best known as the guy from the video that BET played all the time, even though nobody could figure out why, which is What You See Is What You Get. Which was a cool song, but man, they played that record out. Somebody was on payola. Like, there's no way. You know, I'll tell you, these are the things that I remember. Like, I forget stuff for like my regular adult life now, but I remember that. So BET, I think MTV used to do this too. BET used to do a thing where like at the end of the year, they would have like in order, like our top 100 videos of the year.
They still do that.
All right. Well, in 1997 and 1998, Young Doc cared about that.
Young Doc.
So much did I care. And I remember whatever year What You See Is What You Get came out, like, that was the number one video on that they claimed in their countdown for the entire year. I just remember being so mad about that. I was like, nobody cares about this. You know, if you imagine me with even less tact than I have now, I was just like, you know, talking to Noah. I was like, nobody cares about this record.
It's
a good song. I'm just saying it got a lot of love from BET, and I don't think, I mean, to me, what Exhibit did on What's the Difference, which is a classic verse, love that song, love his verse, and then the boost he then got from, because wasn't he on the Trick Please or whatever we want to call it, Chick Please, as our clean version for the show? Was he on the remix
part two? Yeah, it was You Don't Really Wanna with right. Me. Oh, yeah, that was Dre, that was M, Dre, Snoop, and Exhibit, and
right.
Nate.
Right. And then he had, you know, the big Scott Storch beat X, and he had that album, and like, to me...
Yeah, that Restless album, like, that was it.
It was, but like, I want to say that was more... I mean, to me, I mean, that made... I mean, his whole run with, he was a suit, he was sort of like an Aftermath affiliate, right? He was never officially signed. That whole run then got him, I mean, we make fun of it now, but got him Pimp That, you know, Pimp My Ride, and that whole, like, I mean, he became famous, essentially, like, because of his verse on What's the Difference. So, yeah. Like, I don't know, I think dude did pretty well.
True.
So, all that to say, it was good to hear Exhibit.
True.
Can you explain to me what they were thinking with the interlude at the end of the song?
Is this the one?
Yeah.
Is this the one where the girl gets killed?
Yeah.
I don't know. I expect this on a Eminem album, right. But not Dr. Dre.
Not Dr. Dre. Yeah. Yeah. And it's weird to go back and hear, like, again, when I was listening to 2001, to hear Dre and M on Forgot About Dre talking about, you know, killing Kim. And it's like, oh, wait, that would never fly now.
Not at all.
And this, and there's another thing, this, of course, courtesy of Eminem, later on this album, that's already garnering some unwanted attention.
I was wondering. I hadn't heard any talks about that.
Yeah. And the M thing, we'll talk about when we get there. The outro here is totally, like, it's useless. It's not like there's a story being told.
Right.
In which case, you could try to, you know, make an argument for whatever. But, like, no, it's just, you know, I guess it's the, you know, Cold 187's second verse. Like, it leads out of that. But it's stupid. Yeah. I don't know. Overall, though, Loose Cannons, you like it?
Yeah, I like Loose Cannons. Yep, sure do.
It's cool. Issues, Ice Cube, Dem Joints, Anderson .Paak, produced by Dre, and I think Focus, although at the very least Focus helped out. How do you feel about this one?
Well, first off, I'm biased because that's the original P90X sample.
Was it?
Yeah, sure was. So I love that sample. I love what Mos Def did to it. Like, I love that record.
I don't love that sample.
Oh. And I really, really like Ice Cube on this joint.
I've heard a lot of criticism of Ice Cube.
Nah, I like Ice Cube on here. Like, he's not doing too much. He's not, we be clubbing. He's not doing any of that stuff. Please, on your knees, butt naked, please. Like, nobody's doing that.
Listen.
Nobody's doing that. It's Ice Cube. This is what I want to hear from older rappers, right? Like, basically, this is, hey, I'm Ice Cube. I've got 30 plus years in this game. I've done a lot. These are my accomplishments. I don't need to do anything else. I'm good. I have transitioned into movies and other things that have allowed me to live the rest of my days comfortably. But if one of y'all trip, I can get back in my bag and go there if I need to. That's it. I'm good with that. I'm good with that. He's not yelling. It's the guy you know can fight. Everybody I know who can fight doesn't want to fight. All the people I know who are all rah-rah, and yeah, I'm about to do it, like, they can't fight. So everybody I know who got hands is always like, all right, chill, like, let's relax. And then if they have to go there, they'll go there. And I can appreciate that. So I appreciate this Ice Cube verse. I don't know where the criticism. I would love to hear what criticism people have for this record or for his verse.
I thought it was cool. I thought it was a good verse. I don't really love this beat. It just sounds busy. Like, it's trying to sound aggressive because Cube and Dre are both, you know, they're clearly, like, you know, when we heard that they were inspired by the movie, like, this is clearly one of those records, right? Like, they're like, they're not being nostalgic, right? But they wanted to bring that aggression. But to me, it just comes off as, like, overly busy.
I would have liked to hear Ren on this. I'd like to hear Ren on this. I think this could have been the NWA record. It is aggressive, but
with aggressive. I just don't happen to really love this beat. I think Dre, again, so when you asked me earlier, and I sort of referenced it, but Dre sounds like Dre on this.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like, the beat, you know, there's a lot of craziness going on with the song at the end. Listen to it on good headphones. You're going to hear all sorts of stuff. So if you really love those kind of details, you might like the end of the song. But to me, it just all sounds like there's just too much going on. I like the hook, but no, this is not my favorite.
Now I have Bow Down stuck in my head. Dang it. I never liked this song.
But you never liked Bow Down?
Nah.
What about, was it Gangsters Make the World Go Round?
I did like Gangsters Make the World Go Round.
That video.
Oh, man. Cheesy, over-budgeted, mid-90s rap videos. No, my favorite West Side Connection record is easily West Side Slaughterhouse.
Oh, right, right.
That's one of my favorite. That's actually one of my favorite beats ever. That beat is nuts. Makes me want to punch somebody in the face and then, like, stand over them and rap. So yeah. But yeah, this record is cool. I like it. I would have liked to have heard Ren on it. That's probably my only complaint. But I can understand how you say that's how it's busy. I get that.
Let's talk about Deep Water.
Okay.
So it's Dre with Justice and Kendrick. There's a lot of producers on here. Cardiac, Them Joints, Dahi, Dre, and Focus. And there's a reason why. Like, there's a lot going on in this song. This is not rare for this album, but rare if you think about the overall career of Dre. Like, this is a concept song, which is something that Dre isn't really known for. I don't think Dre sounds like himself, but, you know, that's not too much of a surprise by track 9. I think Kendrick kills this, but that's not really a surprise.
This is my favorite Kendrick verse on album.
You know, my problem is I don't really love this beat.
Yeah.
But yeah, so people are saying that Kendrick's throwing shot, you know, couple shots at Drake on this album, this verse being one of them. You catching any of that?
Yeah, I heard a lot of that. I think, listen, to me, these aren't shots.
What would you call them?
I think that the overly sensitization of our culture has made it to where if you say somebody's name on a record, if you reference something that somebody does, it's a diss. Mm-hmm. I think it's wordplay to sort of acknowledge that they have history, but it's not a shot. That's not a shot. It's not a shot. Like, a shot is like, I shot you.
Right. To me, it's closer to, say, like Nas on The Message. One life, one love. There can only
be one kid. Right. Like, I see what you're doing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, how I feel about it has yet to be stated. However, I see what you're doing. And that could be a good thing or a bad thing. It could go either way. I agree with that. That's a good comparison. Yeah, he's on a diss, man. Stop being so freaking sensitive, man. Like, yeesh.
So I could have really done without all of the gurgling water sound effects.
I mean, deep water, you know.
Right. It's a little literal. Like, they could. It's just one of those things where, like, this is a overwhelming song. There is just a lot going on. It's a cool, so like, I really like Kendrick's part. I don't really like the hook. The hook feels like there's like three things going on at the same time, and I'm like, whoa, what's going on? It's cool. It's a cool song. I see a lot of people love this song, though. Not surprising. The Kendrick songs are all getting like immediate love in terms of like people's favorites, but
of course they are.
You know, considering like Cardiac, Dahi, Focus, like a lot of people helping out on a beat that I don't know. Okay, sure. But so how do you feel? Do you like Deep Water?
I like it for Kendrick's verse, but it's okay.
Okay. One Shot, One Kill, which is, I don't even think Dre's on this one. It's technically John Connor featuring Snoop.
Nah, I don't think Dre's not on this.
Right. And he's also not in the game one, which comes up next. So much like, to me, much like with, oh, wait, do I have real? Oh, I think I might have some real album credits here. Anyway, we're getting closer. Anyway, much like to me with Issues, like, here we get another legend, in this case Snoop, who is given an aggressive track. And you've got Snoop sounding more up-tempo and animated than he has in almost 20 years. How do you feel about Snoop on this?
I can tell John Connor wrote it, but this is the steal record. There's a lot of steals from Snoop on this verse. A lot.
Interesting.
Steal. Like a lot of steal.
Dre's not even rapping on this song, though.
Well, there you go. Snoop has snatched the baton.
But I like Snoop on here.
I do. So with all that being said, I do like Snoop on this record. Yes.
The hook is cool. John Connor's fine on the hook. I like John Connor's verse, though. You know, this is like his one big like shot on the album. I think it's a good verse. What do you think?
I gotta get more familiar with it. I can't speak on it yet.
But overall, like, is this a good track for you? An ant track?
Yeah, record's cool.
Cool.
Yeah, it's cool. But I'm still, again, this is another one of those records I still need to sit on. Like, I'm not there yet.
Right. Just Another Day, which is Game featuring Asia Bryant. Looks like Dre with some assistance from, and this is a total throwback to the early Aftermath days, Nephew, who hasn't done work with Dre for a very long time. But this beat, woo!
Beat is nuts.
It's not that complicated, but man, does it work.
Beat is nuts. This is what this is. Here is the perfect summary of this song.
Okay.
So let's go back to wrestling.
Okay.
So in a tag team match, when, you know, it's called the hot tag.
Mm.
So when Marty Jannetty is getting beat up for 20 minutes, right? And he keeps inching to the corner and he can't tag in Shawn Michaels. And finally he does this last ditch effort. He gets his opponent out the way and he like lunges and tags Shawn in. Shawn comes in and what Gorilla Monsoon would call a house of fire. And he would just start like back body drops and drop kicks and stuff. This is Game. Like, yes. Game's been waiting on this tag for like 15 years.
He had the arm like all the way practically in the ring.
Yes.
Waving it around.
Yes.
Dre was on the mat. He's tapping the mat, trying to get him up.
He's getting the crowd to chant like he's stumping his foot and getting the crowd to like rile him up so he can get some energy. Yes, exactly. That's exactly what this record is. And Game comes in and does every trick he knows how to do.
There are so many tricks.
So many tricks. He starts rapping. I love the Red Impala bumping like acne line. I love that line. Then he like starts rapping fast. Then he starts singing. Then he's like, he is all over the place on this record.
Right. So again, a song that really could have benefited from a traditional structure.
Yeah. Is there a hook on here?
It's whatever Asia Bryant sings at the end, I guess.
Oh, I thought it was the grillin'ness, mom. I thought that was the hook. That's not the hook?
No, because he doesn't repeat that. I mean, a hook, right? There is no hook, I guess, right? So like,
jeez.
That would have made sense. Like, to structure this like a regular song, and it could have been longer. Like, this is a really short, it's a really short song because it's basically, I mean, it's basically like one long game. Like, you're right. Game's like, oh, you give me my chance? I'm going to give you a little bit of this. Now it's this. Have you seen this trick? Like, yeah.
He's hot sauce. He is dribbling for 45 minutes.
He's like, I'm not getting off this beat. Like, you're
at all. At all. He does not. He wants this beat to last 80 minutes.
Right. This is the best I've heard Game in a long time.
Yeah. He sounds rejuvenated. Speaking of Game. Speaking of rejuvenated, we didn't talk about this record because we were on vacation or we were on hiatus when it came out. How do you feel about 100?
I love that beat so much.
That beat is nuts. That might be my favorite beat of the year.
It's right. It's one of those beats where it's just like, I'm so mad at myself that I don't make beats like that. I'm like, oh!
And that Peebo Bryson record was just sitting.
I know.
Just sitting there. Yeah, I really,
you know,
really,
you know that me listening to that sample made me go grab the one for 700.
Just saying. Word?
Yeah, so you could thank Hunter for that.
I need to know offline what you sampled. I think I know who you sampled, but I'm a guess, and I'm not gonna guess on I want to show.
Yeah, don't blow me up.
Not at all.
Don't blow my spot.
Not at all. Don't blow up a spot because we both got hot and I check it. But yeah, like yeah.
Anyway, Hunter is so dope.
Yeah, Drake's stimulus package strikes again.
Woof. Even though he kind of sounds like he's half awake for part of it, but it's,
I actually enjoy that now.
Yeah, it works. Yeah,
I didn't like it at first. I like it now.
That's a Michael Jordan. Like that's a Larry Bird heat check. Like, I'm gonna toss in the three pointer from the corner of like almost by half court because I'm feeling it. Mm. That's where Drake's at right now. But no, that was the other Drake record that got on the pop charts this week.
Okay, I was wondering, like, I was hoping that this record, that like the Meek and Drake beef and everything, didn't overshadow this record.
Might have given it a little bit of love, because anything Drake right now is, you know,
Sure.
But that's a great song.
Yeah.
So between that and what Game's doing here, I wonder what he's got for, I mean, who knows, right? Documentary 2 might just be Jesus Peace 2. But
I mean, I feel like he's taking this serious.
Right. In a weird way, the Game is one of those people who actually cares that he's calling it a sequel.
Yes.
And he probably thinks higher of Documentary than almost anybody else. It's his debut.
No, he thinks of it higher than you do, Doc. Everybody thinks highly of that album.
I think it's a really good album. I think I overrated the heck out of it when it came out, but
that was the Game hype. We were all hype, but I think it met the hype. There are some duds on that album, yeah, but
there's some duds. You know what it is for me? It's because I will always believe that, and we know it's pretty much to be fact, like, because of that album, what 50 gave him for that album, it meant that The Massacre was less.
I gotta listen to The Massacre. I haven't listened to The Massacre in forever.
Yeah, Massacre has some records.
This is how we...
You want to talk about a stimulus package.
That was,
right. That is the 50 Cent stimulus
package. That is totally the 50 Cent stimulus package. That was funny. And that was, man, do you remember the original version? Remember when the demo version of that leaked? It wasn't the demo version. It was it wasn't mixed and mastered. So the
the drums didn't sound, you know, because for Dre to be using 808 drums in late 2004 is when that came out, right?
Because I think the album dropped early 2005.
Right. People were like, oh, yeah. People didn't really know what to think.
Yeah. But
that hook is 50 obliterates that record.
Yeah.
50, that was when 50 was 50.
Bentley.
But you know what? It worked. Out of all, you know, many of the people who Dre has worked with in his career show up in one way or another on this album. There are a few exceptions. 50 Cent is one of them.
Yeah.
Just saying. Dude's trying to make some money. He's got a mansion in Connecticut he's got to pay for. We got an album to talk about. So Just Another Day. We both love this record, right?
Yes.
All right. For the Love of Money, featuring Anderson .Paak, Jill Scott, John Connor. I believe this is Dre and Cardiac.
These are Cardiac drums.
Yeah. I don't know if people realize the history of For the Love of Money.
Break that down. I'm very curious.
My understanding, I believe from, because I was reading, it was like an oral, it was like one of those written histories of Bone Thugs. And that was originally, like, the beat and the hook for the Love of Money was originally for some other, like, artist that Easy was trying to work with on Ruthless, an LA artist. But instead he's like, nah, you guys can take it, and then you sort of go from there. So obviously we get the Bone Thug sample here. I really like the sample. The beat takes a little bit to like grow for me, but because again, there's an unorthodox song structure.
Mm-hmm.
But as the beat goes on and builds up, it gets much better. This is, you know, some records here feel like Dre trying something new. Some records feel like Dre trying to make something modern. This is definitely a modern record. You know, there's like the 40 filter on Jill's hook. The drums, like, this is in a weird, like, this is in a very weird way, it is a 2015 record that Dr. Dre is on. But I think I like this one. How do you feel about this?
I really, really wanted to like this song.
Oh no.
Just because For the Love of Money is a classic record.
Right.
That Bone Thugs run, I think, is understated. They have some really, really dope songs.
Especially could teach them.
No, I was about to say the first two albums. We're not going with was that Thug World Order? You know what's funny? No, you know what's funny? Do you remember the when they rapped over the Phil Collins record?
No, what record?
Oh man, hold on.
All right.
Cut this out. I'm gonna play it. Just you have to hear it.
Okay.
You have to hear
like
it.
I'm really gonna cut this out, but go ahead.
No, I mean cut it out in terms of me looking for it.
All right.
Hold on. I forgot about I Tried, the record with Akon.
Who?
Come on, man. Don't do that. Still creeping on the come up. Come on, man. Where is it? There we go. Here we go. Hold on. Give me 1 second.
Oh, no.
Oh, let me.
Oh boy.
Wow. They were really trying. Like, he was really trying to stay
and
on that beat.
That was a hit.
It was not a hit. Nobody cared about that song.
Nah, that record hit. That record hit. That record hit. Do you remember that video? And, like, they were all walking around like a foggy London with Phil Collins like mysteriously like walking through fog in a spooky trench coat.
I'm pretty sure I must have been a fan of some of the genre of music when this was happening, because anyway
okay, so For the Love of Money, yeah. I like the remake, I like the beat, I love Jill Scott on it. It's just like the verses don't, it's almost like I'm waiting on something.
You almost needed a third rap verse on here.
Not even a third rap verse, just something a little more explosive, maybe. And that's probably because I hold the original in such a high regard. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Cartier did this thing. Again, the beat is dope, but it's just like lyrically in the song itself, I'm like, it's missing something.
I love the outro to this. Like they bring in this gets super musical. A lot of details, a lot of elements, but it works. It's very lush. I like it. It's a good record. There's a, you know, I can kind of let, like, this little run here, I can kind of just let play, you know, it just kind of works. But no, I like this record. Let's talk about Satisfiction.
Satisfiction?
Satisfiction.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Hold on. Really?
Yeah, because it's fiction, but Satisfaction.
Right.
Oh.
Look at me. That's never mind. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Satisfiction. My bad.
It's all good. Part of that is, Marsha, what is going on with this hook? So this is with King Mez, Marsha, and Snoop Dogg. Looks like Dre and them joints on the beat. I hate this hook so much. Why? What? Can you help me understand what's going on with this hook?
I was talking on mute. My bad.
oh, no.
I was just talking. I was like trying to explain it to you. And then you're like, yeah, explain it to me. And I'm like, I'm explaining it to you now. Oh.
All right. So what is going on with this?
This is a super West Coast record.
Yes. Yes.
Super West Coast. So I think that's what it is. It's like, and it's not to say, well, you got to be from the West Coaster. But I think it sort of leans its ear to that direction.
You kind of did that in the Dre voice, by the way. It was great. Little Dre, yeah. Little Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. Yeah, one of these songs, which one of the songs is Dre, like, he's, like, growling on? He's like, it's weird. He sounds like Dick Dastardly or something. Yeah, I like the hook, but I like this beat, though. I
love this beat.
This beat is nuts. And I'm not mad at the hook. The hook just makes me want to throw up gang signs from the comfort of my vehicle and not have to worry about getting checked for my colors. So...
Flashing from your Chevy Impala. That could be the
Absolutely.
Name. That could be a title of a record, actually.
What am flashing gang signs? Because there's a few things you could flash from a Chevy Impala that I don't think I should be doing.
Especially as a father.
Yeah, exactly. A father and a man, it's just not going
to
work.
I like the verses on here. Although, I got to say, it's a little weird to hear Snoop say, like, labels asking him to do songs. He doesn't feel like it. It's like Snoop will do a song with anybody. I just don't like how can Snoop.
I'm sure. But the funny part is you're basically saying that Snoop is like a, I don't want to call him a tool, but
no.
You're basically saying there's not a check that he doesn't like.
I will just say Snoop appears to be very open to recording with all types of musicians.
And I think because of that, I think like some absolute tomfoolery gets thrown in his direction. Like, if this is the stuff that he agrees to, imagine what he turns down.
Well, that's one way to look at it. I'm just assuming he's not turning anything down. But you're right. Maybe it's that he's just getting thrown the most ridiculous things that, you know, California Girls with Katy Perry seems like a logical move.
Hey, man, listen.
I'm sure he made a lot of money off that
record. I was about to say, listen. Kendrick did the Bad Blood with Taylor.
Yeah.
And, you know, my daughter loves that record, so I had to hear it this summer. Look, man, listen.
You ready for a 16 on a Katy Perry record?
I was gonna say, man, if the Spice Girls want to make a resurgence, if 98 Degrees need 8 bars for me, like, I'm here.
Like MOP and LFO.
Now wait a minute. Every man has his limits, and that was just. Oh boy. I still can't believe that happened. Man.
It's one of those. Really?
Bunch of hits. Chinese food makes me sick. The funny part is, if you play that record now, like at like a 90s party or a 2000s party, that record's going to go.
Right.
That's the funny part. The
90s, man.
Weird. Like I've seen parties where like people will play Backstreet Boys, I Want It That Way, and like the entire crowd will sing it word for word. And it's like, in 98, you couldn't say you liked that song.
Yeah, you know what? I admit, I got a little bit of a problem with the historical revisionism going on. Like, you know, like, yeah. I mean, let's be honest. Like, it was like music. It was supposed to be like music for TRL. So, like, you know, 13-year-old girls could scream. But, like, yeah. No.
Was it one of those? It's one of those things because we didn't watch TRL every day. But, I mean, when TRL had hip hop and R&B guests, we watched it, and as a result, we were subject to those records.
Let me tell you, my sister was so big into NSYNC. The only music show we could agree on was TRL. We watched TRL every day.
Every day.
Every day.
The funny part is, as for NSYNC, like hip hop. The first record that, like, the hip-hop or urban crowd, because I'm not just going to say black people, but the first NSYNC record.
You said urban. I could see the air quotes.
Right. I did. I totally did the urban crowd. I totally did the air quotes. That's funny. The first record that, like, we said was cool from NSYNC was Gone, and it's an R&B record. And right. Then it was Girlfriend, and, you know, I think that was the No Strings Attached album, right?
You're talking to the wrong guy. It's not like I listen to the albums.
It's going
to
be May. No, it's going to be May. See, that's the funny part.
Yeah.
I remember that behind the video.
That's yeah, great. I remember that one too. I used to, the MTV behind, yeah, making the video.
Making the video, there we go. Now, those I would watch pretty much despite the, I watched almost all of those.
Right. They did one for Busta Rhymes' Fire, remember?
They did. Oh my God. Oh.
Anyway.
Oh, that record was bad.
I know.
Fire. I still stand by the idea that Anarchy was a dope album, but
you're out there alone on Anarchy Island. Nope. Anyway, Satisfaction is the closest thing to a regular single on here, maybe? There's like actual hooks?
Yeah.
Kind of, although it's still a little bit of an unusual structure. But it starts with a hook, it ends with a hook. There's a hook in between. Like, I don't know. Do you think this could be a single?
I don't know.
Okay. Do you like this song?
I do. I like this song a lot. Okay.
I don't know. I love the beat.
Nuts.
Let's talk about Animals. A much talked about track online.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Of course.
Produced by Dre, Premier, and some kid named BMB Space Kid.
Okay.
He's a Russian producer. I hate to break it to all the Premier heads out there. Space Kid did the drums on this record.
Oh, okay.
Even though he's doing his Primo imitation.
Absolutely. I mean, he's in Russia, like, you know, Europe. I mean, I was just saying, like, Europe, like, and Europe and Germany, and like there's so many places that just they love that right. Boom bap hippity hop.
So this record was originally like Primo and Anderson .Paak.
Okay.
And then apparently like Dre got involved and whatever else. This is a set right. This is definitely like this is Anderson .Paak's like starring thing on this album, and he is all over the album. But like this is his moment, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I really wish this beat was better. It's cool. But the beat's not really the point of the song. I do like Anderson .Paak on here. I think he's really good on it. I like the chord progression on the hook. I think the hook actually really works. Overall, as a song, I like it. I think it's good. What do you think?
Same.
Okay.
Same. I think Anderson .Paak makes this record.
Yeah, no, totally. Without him, this record is it's plodding. You know, it's getting attention online because it is one of the more, like, right out in your face examples of, I don't want to say they're getting political, we'll say they're being topical, right? They are speaking on current issues, and really just in general, they're talking about more than just what you might consider stereotypical Dr. Dre lyrical content, right? Yeah. There are no 6/4s in this song.
6/4s.
And so for you, this song is good? Eh? Dope? Eh?
Yeah, it's cool.
It's cool. It's a good song to have on in the background. I don't mean that in a bad way, but it's just kind of like, you know, it's not, I don't know, like the beat is just so kind of like there. How funny is Primo at the end of this though?
What was he scratching? I didn't get that far. Was he scratching?
Oh, are you kidding me? Hold on. You probably should do it right now on the show because it's hilarious. Basically, after Anderson .Paak's last verse, like, you know, and the song is kind of mid-tempo. It's not really too aggressive. He's just like, yeah, this is DJ Premier. Like, and then Dre's like, and I'm Dr. Dre. Like, you know, and they're doing this whole, like, hyped up animated.
Are they doing a promo? Are they
it the sounds Mega like a promo. It's great. You know, and Primo scratching over this, like, really melodic, like, mid-tempo song. You're right there.
And we want to tell you to stay in school. There's no hope with dope. It's just
yeah.
Yo, we should have did the intro to Clock Radio Speakers like this. Yo, what up? This is Armand Wake Up, and I'm Doc _ Beats. S not a Z, 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 Z. Oh my God, that's terrible.
This is why you gotta listen all the way through.
I do. I'm sorry. Oh man. Oh,
all right. That was good. Yeah, we need a good laugh. Let's talk about Medicine Man.
Yes.
I saw cover art for this song online. Is this going to be a single?
I don't know.
So, Medicine Man's Dre with Anderson .Paak, Candice Pillay, and M. I believe produced by Dre, Focus, and Dem Joints. So, when it starts out with, like, the doc, you got to give us some good news, I was like, oh, no.
I need a doctor. I tell you, were like your first listen to this album, I'm sure like you were your hand was shaking like please Lord, no, I need a doctor, please.
And yet this is such a good hook.
This is my favorite song on the album right now.
Oh, I don't know about, all right, hold on.
Yeah, this is my favorite song on the album.
I really like the beat.
Oh my God, those drums are nuts.
Great drums. Again, the hook, this might be, to me, this is my favorite hook on the album. Only because I find myself, good thing I work from home, I find myself sort of like walking around going, doctor's orders, go F yourself. Like I'm just muttering it under my, you know, it's not a good thing you want to do in an office. But no, I really like everything up until Eminem's verse.
Oh, you're bugging. That's the best Eminem I've heard in years.
He's
focused and he's not rambling, like, yeah. I'm assuming did the rape line throw you off?
Well, that's just stupid. And you know, honestly, like when you get to that stuff for an M verse, there's a little bit of eye rolling. Actually, so I kind of like that they drop the drums and actually do a little beat switch. I don't really love the second half of the beat for his verse. I know. And frankly, like, I don't know. This feels like this is, I don't know. It's indulgent. Like, this is M rapping. Like, he's just rapping for the sake of rapping. Like, I don't know. I'm sort of done with M doing this. Like, I just don't ever need this. Like, it's good in a sense, but I don't know. It's not really like, yeah, I want to hear M do this. Like, it was good to hear for one listen through. You hear the rape line, and I'm like, oh, God, do we really have to do this? But just in general, it's like, I don't know. This is what I'm trying to get, and I'm going to put this back on you. You have been very vocal this entire year, and really in years past, but really this year, about a desire for content.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has less content than Eminem.
Absolutely.
Could you explain
this? Well, not absolutely. But
right, I'm sorry.
A lot of people have less content than Eminem, but...
He has empty content. He is talking about nothing.
But I feel like when he does talk about something, it's always... It makes his songs with content stand out all the more.
Right. He talks about nothing on this song.
Nah, you're bugging.
What is he talking about?
He talks about the, you know, my skin color didn't matter. And then he's like, nobody cared about my descent until I took off. Like he's doing, I think when the beat drops, then he starts, you know, going into rapidy rap mode. But this is one of those instances where it's like, do I want content? This is the question that I've been having. And maybe we need to have this conversation now.
Okay.
But conversations that I've been having with other people about this album, people are consistently asking me, well, the album's not really about anything. And it's like, my question to them is, do you want content from Dr. Dre? Is that where you go to Dr. Dre for? Or do you go for like a musical experience? You go for like crazy beats. You go for, you know, as you said, song structure, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Am I going to like hear some content besides the chronic? Not really. So in this case, I'm going to give M a pass because I think there's more content than a lot of his other stuff. So him starting in content and then going in the rapidy rap direction doesn't bother me. And then it's a Dr. Dre album, so I'm not looking to, you know, relate to it. I'm looking to enjoy it.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Him talking about, like, he never thought about his race and nationality and all that, like, you know, he should probably just stay far away from that, actually. The thought that Eminem never really thought about how much him being white would matter is... either ignorant,
I think,
or just completely idiotic.
I think he understated it. I don't think that the idea. I don't think he pursued hip hop to be like, hey, I'm going to come out and I'm going to sell records because I'm the white rapper. I don't think that happened at all. I think that other people at Interscope saw that. Hey, here's a white rapper who's really, really controversial. We're gonna make a lot of money with this. Because that's consistent in pop music. You know, you take the Blue Eyed Soul, you know, Elvis Presley. Like,
right.
You know, so this isn't new. I don't think M intentionally set out to do that, but that's who he became. So I think in this song, he's speaking from, you know, Eminem, that battle rapper at the shelter, rather than this ignorant guy who didn't really understand what he was getting into. I think he fully knows what he got into now.
Right.
But I think it's a retrospective perspective that he's speaking from. I don't at all think that he's ignorant of, you know, what he's done and why he's gotten the breaks that he's gotten in hip hop. I don't think he's ignorant of that at all.
I'm not gonna lie. I think I'm just kind of done with Eminem.
I mean,
I really like. I just don't. I don't know.
That doesn't surprise me, only because you're older. And I'm not saying that. What I mean by that is, you know, the things that we got into, or the things that we enjoyed, or the things that we entertained in our teens and in our 20s. Like, you know, for example, in my early 20s, in my late teens, I thought Super Troopers was like the funniest movie ever. I watched it like a year ago and I barely chuckled. And I was like, what was that? But it's not that. Right. The movie is any different. I'm just older. I just see and hear things different. So I think with M, like, you know, we can just appreciate the fact that he gave us two great albums with Marshall Mathers LP and Eminem Show. You know, we stayed within the confines of our retrospective of him that we did. And let that be okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the fact that Roy Jones still fights now, you know, and we're like, ah, he's ruining his legacy. But when we still watch those highlight reels from the late 90s, in early 2000s, we're still in awe. Like, man, Roy Jones was an incredible boxer. And that's just it.
I guess I would say it's funny in a sense. Like, the fact that M is still around, right?
Almost. Is he still around?
You don't think he's still around?
I think he's around because of his. I think it's like who did I say? I think he's like Kanye. I think he's around because of what he did. I don't think he's doing anything current to kind of keep up or maintain something. I think that he's sort of solidified a status, which kind of allows him to still be in the conversation without him doing anything.
Oh, no, except, I mean, the difference there is M's just not in a conversation. Like, nobody wants to hear another Eminem album.
People always bring up the Eminem. Like, when we're talking about best rappers, people who are dope, people always bring up Eminem, still to this day.
Right. And so, I don't know, to me, like, what he did in this album is what we've been hearing from M for the past 5 years, which is... He just sort of right. I just don't really. You know what it is? This is so unfair for somebody who will go down in history as one of the most technically gifted rappers of all time. I almost want to say, do you have anything else? Is this all you do? He used to do more than this, right? Not all of his songs were like this. And in fact, it was the moments when he really got to the really sort of multi-syllable flow that it became really dope. That's actually the problem. Yes, now I got it. The problem with M now is that he thinks that he has to do that all the time. He forgot that he used to, that it's actually like you have to have like a dope part to a verse and then not say, great, I'm going to rap like that for 16 bars. It's like, that's actually not how that works. He doesn't get that you need to be able to turn it up. Like he thinks his flow needs to be at 11 the whole time. All it really does is it just makes him sound the same every single time.
Mm.
He's like, he is sort of like a point guard who thinks that if you're going to be quick on the basketball floor, it means you just run down at full speed the whole time. And it's like, no, actually you need to have transitions between slow and fast. And that's what will make you feel fast. Right. M is just all the time. No, 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 no. It's like, all right. I get it. You can rap. We all know you can rap. That's how I feel about Eminem in 2015. Mm.
Okay.
No, but I know people love this.
Yeah, I like this song a lot.
And in a weird way, if M hadn't been around for the last 5 years, like let's say the whole relapse recovery and everything after that never happens, and this is sort of like we're hearing M on this the same way that we're sort of hearing Ice Cube, right? Where it's like, oh, Ice Cube, yeah, on a Dre beat. People, like, I would probably, in a weird way, even though it's the same verse, I would be like, oh, wow, M still got it. But instead, it's more like, no, I know M still has this. In fact, this is all M does. Anyway, yeah.
Okay.
All that to say, I like everything. I really like everything about this, except for M's part. And honestly, like the first time I heard M's part, I was like, "Yeah, dude can rap. Like that was cool." But like, I have no replay value for it. Mm. But you really like this. This your favorite song
right now? Mm. Yep. This or Gone.
Yeah. I love this. I love the main beat on here. It's great. Let's finish and talking to my diary.
Yep.
Produced by Dre, DJ Silk, and Mr. Chalk.
Yeah, Mr. Chalk. Yep.
This is probably the oldest beat on the album. This was in an HP commercial a couple years back with slightly different drums and maybe a bit of a different chop, but it was very clearly like this beat. This is a dope beat, though, but it doesn't sound like a Dre beat to me at all.
I think it totally sounds like a Dre beat.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, yes. This is the most traditional Dr. Dre beat on his album.
No, Gone is this. This sounds like an East Coast Dr. Dre beat in a sense. Maybe it's the sample. Maybe it's the way it's used.
It's the sample.
Even the way it's sort of like it's chopped at the beat, like the way the first part, like the first half of the loop go. Like, I don't know. It feels a little more East Coast to me. How do you feel about Talking to My Diary?
It's all right. It's not something that I'm going to run to. But when I let this play after Medicine Man, like I don't turn it off.
I like this song. I think Dre sounds like Dre. There's an actual honest to goodness rap hook on this song. I'll tell you one thing that stuck out immediately. The bridge on here, the part where it's like now puff puff pass pass, that sounds so much like it was supposed to have been sung by Nate Dogg.
I meant to say that earlier about BJ the Chicago Kid.
Oh, interesting.
He was very Nate Doggish on this album.
I don't like, yeah, except I really don't like him singing on that song. But but no, I like I like Talking to My Diary, and I think it's a really good closing track. On 2001, I never liked The Message.
You didn't?
No. No. This is so much better than The Message.
Oh, you're bugging.
No, I don't like that beat. Sorry for that.
Oh, that's the best part of the song.
Ugh.
That does not compare to the rest, to most of the rest of the album. But no, I like Talking to My Diary. I think it's a good, I think it's a good closing track. To me, it's a much more success. It's funny, great, because when we think of Good Kid, Mad City, we people very rarely talk about the song Compton. To me, it's very similar. It sort of tries to comp in feel anyway. It's meant to be sort of the same thing, right? This celebratory, like I'm looking back at what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it fits even better. Like the song Compton always felt a little, I don't know, Dre on that, felt a little like jilted. It kind of works and it pretty much works, but I don't know. All that to say, I really like Talking to My Diary.
Yeah. Compton did more for Kendrick than Dre.
Sure. Who. Sure. To me, they have similar goals though. Like they not only kind of sound somewhat similar, I'm not saying the beat sound alike, but you know, like the feel of it is similar.
Yeah.
But you're not really a fan, huh?
Yeah. It's all right.
Okay. So I'm not gonna try to ask you overall what you think, because I think it's pretty clear if you've listened this far in the episode, and if you have, thank you. I think it's clear that we are both mixed on this album. I think that's fair to say, right?
I wouldn't put a definitive stamp on the album. I think you and I are still like unpacking it.
True. And you know, I will say you're right. I mean, one thing I know you talked about it, and it's sort of a nerdy detail. This is gonna be weird. Some of the mixing on this is not what I would expect. So I almost kind of want to hear the CD rip when it comes out to see if there's any difference.
I think there will be. I totally want to do that.
Right. You know, actually, one song that really actually to me would benefit from some help there, ironically, is Talk About It. Like, I think I might have mentioned it, but like when that intro transitions in, that first beat drop, why does that not just completely like knock? And it just doesn't. I don't know. It's like missing just a little bit. And this is all stuff that's like super nerdy, but this is the stuff that Dre always gets. Like the fact that I'm actually like thinking, oh, this doesn't really hit as hard as it should, that's something you never say about a Dre song ever.
Yeah.
But so we can finish with this. Like you said, you and I are still unpacking this. Your first impression, was it close to what you expected? Was it totally different? What was your first sort of, what is your overall like first week, like, you know, happy that Dre's back, like what's the overall feeling?
That's it. I'm happy that Dr. Dre is back. I'm happy that, you know, because we didn't even get into like, well, I guess we did sort of talk about Detox, and you know what he said about Detox. I guess we talked about that last week. Never mind. So yeah, I'm just glad that Dre's back. I'm just glad that Dre's back. There's a new Dr. Dre album, and there's no what if that we have to sort of discuss or debate. This is Dre's last hurrah, and that's what I want to know. How is this going to stand up like at the end of Dre stuff? I'm glad that we got a new Dr. Dre album. I'm glad that we no longer have to have the discussion of what if, you know, what if Dre would have dropped Detox, what would it have sounded like? That's right. Dead. My question is this going to hold up the way that the Chronic and 2001 held up? Is this going to disappear the way that the Aftermath album did? Like how is this going to hold up in Dr. Dre's place in hip hop history and within his discography? That's what I'm curious to know. And I know for a fact we can't answer that right now.
Oh, I can answer that right now.
Wow.
And that's not a knock. 2001 is an incredible album. The Chronic is an incredible album. This is not an incredible album. It might be good. It might be very good. We don't know. I don't really know yet. Like a lot of these records have so much going on. There's a lot of detail. I need to dig in. I don't know what the replay value is going to be. No, look, the first time I heard the Chronic, I knew. The first time I heard 2001, I knew, right? That's not to say that albums don't grow in you and everything else, but some records are on a level where the first time you hear them, you're just like, oh my God, this is not an oh my God album. And that's okay. That's a ridiculous standard to hold anybody to.
Yeah. So then my question is, what the last two albums to make you oh my God was what? Both the Kendricks?
Good Kid, Mad City made me go, oh my God. I don't know if Tip of a Butterfly made me go, oh my God.
So, yeah, it definitely did that for me. But it's like we're listening to music differently in 2015. So you have to do a lot to get Oh My God. So
I mean, yeah, but I'm sorry to interrupt. I mean, yeah, but like, I don't know, like even Good Kid, Mad City, like I knew on that first listen through, I knew, like I was like, yep, this is one. We've, you know, some records take a while, right? But then there's, to me, like there are some classics that just immediately hit. And, you know, it's asking Dre to put out that kind of record now. It's just tough. Like, I, you know, the fact that he did it twice is incredible, right? I mean, we don't think of it as a sequel, but I mean, listen to M's verse on Forgot About Dre. Like, you know, it was supposed to be the Chronic 2, right? Then it was the Chronic 2000. Mm-hmm. Then because of Death Row, it was Chronic 2001. And then it was just like, you know, we're just going to call it 2001 and put the Chronic Leaf on the cover so everybody knows. But it's essentially a sequel. When has a sequel in hip hop ever worked that well? So rare.
I think 2001 is probably the best sequel ever.
Right.
Has it worked elsewhere? Not Blue. Okay, let's just break some down. Not Blueprint, not Cuban Links.
There aren't that. First of all, there aren't that many sequels.
They're not. Yeah, no, not really. Not really. Not really.
And honestly, to me, like, I wasn't looking for that out of Dre. The one thing that is the most surprising is the degree to which he has adopted what I would consider sort of like modern sounds on some of these songs. Like, some of them are like, oh, he's doing his own different new thing. And some of them are like, oh, those are cardiac drums. That's a little jarring, but that's okay. To me, the most important thing is, and for him anyway, I'm pretty sure, is that he's able to end on his own terms. He's not going to sort of fade away while people are still asking about Detox. He gets to put this out, and then if he wants to, he gets to walk away, and that's it, right? He's still going to be around, but in terms of an album, he gets to end on his own terms, and it's not a bad album. And that sounds like I'm damning with faint praise, but I mean, I don't know. My expectations, it was more my curiosity was high than my expectations were high.
Right. That's a good way of putting it. Yeah. Curiosity. Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, I mean, really, like in terms of impact and like everything else, like Good Kid, Mad City might as well be the third Dr. Dre album in terms of how I feel about that album and what it did for the West Coast. Right. I mean, it's Kendrick's creation and it's dope for different reasons than a Dre album is dope. But Kendrick has the rock. He's got the rock now. Like, he's running with it.
He's got the juice now.
Right.
Yep.
Dre can finally, like, I mean, boy, talk about him and Game having a, right? I mean, Game was supposed to be like the guy who he was going to pass it off to Game, and that was it. Remember?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Didn't work as well as we all hoped. But with Kendrick, he's got the guy.
Yep.
He can go and he can do whatever.
Yep.
But no, I don't think there's.
So that's what you think he was doing? You think Dre was waiting on one guy to, that he could.
I don't know if he was waiting on it, but I don't think Dre. I mean, so first of all, this is going to sell really well. You know, people really like it. It's well reviewed. I'm being more critical than most. Like, he gets to walk away having done it. Like, he did what he wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody else gets to take on the mantle of Compton. You know, he closes out. You know, he exercises a demon of Detox, right? He drives a stake through that, puts out Compton, NWA movie's coming out, his legacy is secure, he's a billionaire, like, he literally gets to walk out and he did it.
Yeah.
We'll see, though. We'll see if he can stay away. Like, there's... Stu, there is no reason. Dre has nothing to prove to anybody. He didn't before, but he certainly has nothing to prove.
Mm.
But, you know, that is my opinion. Now, how I know it's not 2001. But that's okay. The question is, I don't know if it's good. I don't know if it's really, really, really good yet. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know where it falls. It's definitely not bad, and that's a start.
Mm.
Okay. All right. Anything else you want to say about Compton?
Nah, I think this is, you know, I've been pushing for us to sort of do like revisits on albums, and I think this album makes a strong case. You know, we revisit this album in the springtime and see how we feel about it. We revisit it in November and we see how we feel about it. I think that's one of those things, because I'm still unpacking it.
Stu.
Stu.
And on that note, thank you everybody for listening to this week's Talk Radio Speakers. I actually don't know if we'll be back next week. One thing we've been talking about is sort of making sure that if we do an episode, it's only when there's something to absolutely talk about. Sometimes that means we'll be on every week. Sometimes it'll be every other week or so. But we will be consistent. We aren't taking hiatus or anything like that. All that to say, if you didn't listen to last week's comeback episode, please listen to it. It's on 4thdistrict.com. There's this week's episode, two sides, side A, side B. Hopefully y'all like both sides. Use the hashtag Clock Radio Speakers. Let us both know what you think. Let me know if I'm crazy for being critical of M's verse. Let Armand know if he's crazy for, I don't know, he probably said something crazy. Anything else you want to talk about, man?
There it is.
I hope that check was great. It had to have been.
Bigger check, that or Memphis Bleek with the shampoo commercial?
Oh, did you listen to Memphis Bleek did a podcast with a guy named Tax Stone, and he talked about it. Like he said, he said the check was nice.
Or Royce with Willa Ford, I Want to Be Bad.
Woo! And this is Rhinestone Bandana Royce. Ooh! Wow, Willa Ford. Oh my God.
See, you can't be jogging my memories with these really bad songs. It's only downhill from here.
I feel like we should make a collaborative playlist on Spotify of like these bad songs.
Man. No. All right, let's get out of here.
All right.